thank you for coming here tonight. We welcome you all in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you are excited to be here tonight? Amen. How many of you are outside of this church? Wow. Hallelujah. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming tonight. I believe God is up to something for your region. Do you believe that? Amen. Have you come with expectant faith? If you're not expecting, God cannot move. You need to come with an expectant faith that something is going to shift in your life. If something is going to shift in the church tonight, something is going to shift in Griffith tonight, something is going to shift in Australia. Do you believe that? Because we are serving an awesome God. He's an awesome God who can do anything. Amen? How many of you are believing for the impossible today? Our God is a specialist in impossibilities. Amen? How many of you are here for healing tonight? Amen? Jesus died for us. His stripes is going to heal you today. Hallelujah. We are so grateful to our Lord Jesus for what he has done on the cross. I'm so excited. Do we have the video ready? Hallelujah. We're going to see a video, just an introduction of our ministry, so that you can have a better idea of who I am, where I'm coming from. Then we'll straight dive into the message. Amen? Hallelujah. So they're preparing for the video. I just wanted to thank the pastor of this house here for hosting this place. And Alan and Vicky, they are my host here. Awesome people. I met them in Israel. Hallelujah. You know, there's always God keeps somebody to bring something into a city. Right? So they are the chosen people for tonight. Hallelujah. So I pray that God will bless them and everybody who's working with them to put this thing together. Amen? We enjoyed a great afternoon this afternoon. We had just discussions and had a good lunch together with the pastors of this church, Steve here and Matunga, and it was good. We had a good time this afternoon. So just discussing what God is doing around the world and what is God up to. Amen? Okay, let's forget the video. Let's dive into the message straight. Anyway, I'm Sam DeWalt from America. So we have a ministry called World Healing International in America. We train up a lot of leaders and pastors, and we raise up a lot of initiatives for prayers and intercession for awakening and revival in America. We do a lot of conferences. I wrote a book called The King is Coming, Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem. So we do a lot of conferences about this. Our main mandate on our ministry is to proclaim the King is coming to the nations. Amen? How many of you know the King is coming? Hallelujah. The King is coming. Amen? He's coming soon and he's about to come. Are you ready? I thought you'll jump out of the sheet and say, I'm ready right now. See? That's the reason God sent me. So we got to be ready. Amen? So after this service is over, you'll all be ready. And you'll understand that what time and season we are living in, so that we can be ready. Amen? Alright, I just wanted to tell you that I've been traveling all over the place. I wanted to tell you that the nations are raging. Amen? Psalm chapter 2. The nations are shaking. God is moving powerfully all across the world. The nations are being shaken. God is just bringing so much power and revelation of who he is into the nations. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? There's been such a shaking going on in every nation. And God is doing some suddenlies in every nation. Even the nations who think they are safe, for example, America, they thought they are so safe. 9/11 hit them. Amen? So every nation is vulnerable and every nation is shaking because the King is coming. Amen? Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Verse 3, if you see there, let us break their bonds. T is capital. Do you see that? Let us break their bonds. T is capital. Here it's talking about the nations are raging, the governments are arising. Humanism and socialism and communism and all kinds of ism is increasing. And they are thinking and taking counsel that they can break their bonds. T capital, that means the bond of Trinity. Father, Son, and the Spirit. And if we apply into the earthly realm, we are the representative of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the nations are raging, taking counsel to break the church. But how many of you know that we are arising and the power of God is and glory of God is going to come upon the churches. We will be so powerful that the nations have no answer, but the church has the answer in the end times. Hallelujah. Who is the church? You and me are the church. Amen. Individually, you and me are the church. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. God is going to fill each one of us with such a glory and power that the devil will tremble and flee, and the solutions that the world cannot give, we are going to give the solutions through the power of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. You're all going to arise. We're all going to arise into the next realm as the glory of the Lord is going to come upon us like never before. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of the things that you faced so difficult, like a mountain in your life, is going to be completely destroyed. Hallelujah. Every yoke that is upon your life will be broken through the power of the anointing. God is going to come upon each one of us. How is He going to manifest? How is He going to do it? I will talk to you as I go on. Verse 4, He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. This is a basic thing that people don't understand. Though the nations are raging, the Middle East is just like in a hot fire. But the one who sits on the heaven laughs. Why is he laughing? Because people think that Islam is taking over. But you know what's happening? Thousands and thousands of Muslims are coming to the Lord every day in the Middle East. Hallelujah. The highest revival is happening in Iran. Thousands are coming to the Lord. Saudis are coming to the Lord. Sheikhs and princes and kings and queens, imams and rabbis, and everybody is coming to the Lord. Hallelujah. We think that they are destroying Iraq and destroying Iran. Of course they are doing. But God is doing an underlying powerful work in every nation. Every nation, including Australia. God is doing a powerful underlying work. What do you mean by underlying work? It will not come on a CNN news, what God is doing. It will not come on a big billboard on the street. It can be evident only when you have a close look at in the spiritual realm and look what God is doing. An underlying work is going on even in America, big time. God is moving powerfully in America. Hallelujah. Every nation is raging, but the one who sits on the heaven laughs. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Wow. Is the nations are in derision? Big time. Big time. They don't know what they are doing. They're killing each other. Egyptians are killing Egyptians. Syrians are killing Syrians. The nations are in derision. And what's happening is just exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 24, that the kingdom will be against kingdom. Do you know what's happening in the Middle East? Muslims are killing each other. Sunni Muslims and Shiite Muslims are killing each other. They're destroying each other's mosques. How many of you know when one's kingdom is divided within, it's going to fall? And it's falling big time. Amen? The most declining religion in the world is Islam. Because God is moving so powerfully. Hallelujah. Because God is the only true answer for every problem we face. Jesus is the only answer. And He is the only way. Because He is the one who shed the blood for each one of us. He is the one who shed the blood for Australia. He is the one who shed the blood for the Iranians. He is the one who shed blood for the Jewish people, for Palestinians, for every tongue, every tribe. Without Him, nothing is possible. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is moving so powerfully. What's happening here? What's happening in verse 5? Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Think about this. If the King of Kings is in displeasure, what will happen? Wow. He will speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his displeasure. Yet have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter what happens in the nations, no matter what happens in the world, I have set my king Jesus, my son Jesus, Yeshua, on the Mount Zion. Amen. He's going to come. He's getting ready to come back and reign and rule from Jerusalem. What is happening when the nations are raging? Turn to Haggai. The nations are raging. What is happening? As the nations are raging, the Muslims are shaking. Every nation is shaking. What's happening, actually? Verse 6 in chapter 2, Haggai. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. Amen? God is shaking everything that needs to be shaken. He's shaking the denominations. He's shaking every barriers of Christianity. He's shaking everything that needs to be shaken. He's shaking with everything which is not founded of God. Amen? He's shaking every ideology. He's shaking every mindset. He's shaking everything that needs to be shaken. So the nations are being shaken, and even the church is being shaken. What's happening? Verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Hallelujah. D capital there. Who's the desire of all nations? Come on, guys, speak here. Who's the desire of all nations? Jesus. There's a D capital there. Jesus, because he's the one who shed the blood for every nation, every tribe and every tongue. So these nations are shaking. Everybody's running towards the desire of all nations, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The world is coming to the Lord amazingly. God is doing mighty work in the Middle East, appearing in dreams and visions to the Muslims, even right in Mecca and Medina. Do you know how many got saved right in the middle of the Black Stone? In Mecca and Medina. Because God revealed. Hallelujah. So many pastors, God saved them right in the middle of Mecca and Medina when they were about to throw the stones against Satan. Isn't it interesting? Our God is a mighty God. Hallelujah. He can go into any bedrooms. He can go into any place, anywhere. Amen? Because heaven and earth is His. He created everything. Every human heart sitting here is created by God. He can get into any heart. Amen? If we allow Him to come. Hallelujah. Amen? So God is moving powerfully. What's happening here? They're coming to the desire of all nations. When the nations are shaking, when the nations are coming to the Lord, look what is going to happen next. I will fill this temple with the glory. Hallelujah. Who is the temple? Say, I am the temple. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is telling you, I'm going to fill you with His glory. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Do you know what happens when the glory of the Lord comes upon you? You don't have any idea. You don't have any idea. When the glory comes upon you, you will see miracles like never before. The sun, whatever a human organ is needed, it will grow instantly. The legs will grow, the hands will grow, the lame will walk, the blind will see. Without any human intervention, that is what the glory does. The anointing works through you and me, but the glory, God Himself will work. Hallelujah. Amen. When the glory comes, everything is going to shift in your life. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Hallelujah. There will be no normal Christianity anymore. It's going to be powerful. As Peter walked on the streets, the shadow of Peter was healing. Amen? As you walk into the grocery stores and gas stations, you know, God is going to use you to heal and set the people free. Amen? Hallelujah. Every nation, everyone is going to tremble and fear the Lord because God is going to work through you so powerfully. Amen. Like never before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They'll be shaking hands and then, whoa, what's going on? What's happening to me? Hallelujah. No more howdy and no more hello. It's going to be trembling in power of God as they touch you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how the name of the Lord will be feared all over the world through you and me. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready for all the stuff? But I wanted to tell you, this is all okay. God is going to fill us with glory. That's the end part of it. He's going to fill us with His glory and we are going to be raptured. We are going to go to heaven. God is going to take us home. That's all okay. But the problem is we do not understand the times and season we are living in. We are taking Christianity as normal. We are taking life as just like that. We need to know what timing and what season we are living in. Amen? It's very important. Because Jesus, again and again, He said, no man will know the time and hour. No one will know the time and hour. But I will tell you the season. When this is happening, know that I'm around the corner. Amen? So the season is very important. If we're not plugging into the move of God in the end times, we will be so disappointed. Because we got to do what God is doing and we have to connect with Him. There's a principle in the kingdom of God. Look where God works and join Him. Amen? So we need to see what God is doing around the world. What is the progressive revelation for our generation? And then we connect with Him and then we flow with Him. Jump into the river. Hallelujah. Amen. Jump into the river of the Holy Spirit. Jump into the river and flow where it flows. The Bible tells wherever the river went, there was living beings there. Every dead thing will come to alive. Hallelujah. Every dead thing in your life will be coming to life. Amen. Jump into the river and just flow in the end times like never before. So we're going to see some of these signs that God said, if these things happen, know that I'm coming very, very, very soon. Hallelujah. But the problem is, though we know the time and season, are we prepared? Because Jesus clearly said, if you just call yourself a Christian, you will not be worthy enough to be raptured. We're going to see some of the important principles, important things that we need to be involved on a day-to-day basis, working with the Lord, working with the Holy Spirit, how we can be prepared. And when He comes, He will come suddenly. Amen? He will come suddenly. We got to be ready. Do you know how He's going to come? The root word is kabash in Hebrew, which means rapture. Do you know the word we use in English, rape? Raping a woman forcefully. The same way God is going to come and forcefully take us away. Hallelujah. Suddenly, the church will be gone. Suddenly. Amen? But we're going to see some of the important signs that Jesus said in His own words. Luke 17. Jesus said, this will be the thing that will be happening in the world. Before I come, this will be the same situation and circumstance that you will face in the world just before I come. Amen? Luke 17 verse 26. Jesus was talking about the end times. The disciples were asking questions. Lord, when you will come back? What are the signs? What are the signs that you will come back? So He's answering those questions. And in verse 26 of Luke 17. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. So God said, the days of the Son of Man. How many of you know we are living in the days of Son of Man? Son of Man is going to be revealed anytime. Jesus is going to be revealed anytime. And He's going to take us home. So Jesus said, when I'm coming, during my time, it'll be like the time of Noah. It'll be the general circumstances that will prevail in the world during His coming. So what was times of Noah? Genesis chapter 6 verse 1 to 2 talks about the times of Noah. So during Noah's time, God said everything was corrupted. Everything was corrupted, and he felt like, I'm sorry that I created human beings. And he wanted to destroy everybody. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6 quickly. Genesis chapter 6 verse 3, verse 2. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men. The translation here is wrong in English. It's actually the fallen angels, evil spirits. The fallen angels saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Verse 4. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God, is again it's wrong translation, it's evil spirits, angels, the fallen angels, came unto the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. What was the time of Noah? During the time of Noah, there was some unbelievable infiltration of the demonic into the human race. Unbelievable infiltration of the demonic into the human race. The fallen angels had relationship with women, and they brought children. That's what was happening in times of Noah. Do you know it's happening big time in our time here? It's happening big time around the world, including Australia. Demonic infiltration is unbelievably happening. Some of the things that were considered demonic is legalized in our time now. Some of the things which were completely way off the chart of the Christians is legalized now. Do you know our time faces the greatest warfare than the first century church? More than ever, we are facing the strongest battle in the spiritual realm. The demonic is infiltrating. So many manifestations are happening all around the world. It's happening every day, day in and day out, in every country, every nation. I just recently, a couple of months back, I read a news from London. There was a person who was demonized, and he was walking naked on the street and trying to kill people. And the police tried to shoot him. Shoot him or shoot her, I don't know, shoot the person. They could not kill because of the demonic possession. It's increasing, folks, and it is going to increase. Unless you know your identity in Christ and what authority you have in Jesus, it's going to be difficult in the end times. Amen? We have all authority that Jesus has given us. Some of the believers are going through so much demonic oppression, they're not even able to tell the other people. So much demonic oppression is happening inside the church. How many hundreds we have delivered from the church? God is moving powerfully at the same time as the demonic is increasing. God is increasing the power in us. Hallelujah. Amen. As extremism is happening around the world, evil intents and the demonic is increasing at the same time, God is increasing the power. Hallelujah. The glory is coming each one of us to contend the demonic. We are the victorious people. Hallelujah. We are overcomers through Christ Jesus, because Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. And he destroyed it on the cross. When he said it is finished, everything is finished. Amen. Some of you sitting here are going through some demonic oppressions. I can feel it. But tonight God is going to deliver us. Amen. God is going to set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Do you know every July, there's a ministry, they do camp meetings, deliverance meeting just for the pastors and leaders. Just for the pastors and leaders. They're doing it for 40 years. Last year I was there. I was like, wow. So many pastors and leaders. You can, maybe some of them you might see on TV too. have to go through so much deliverance. Not we are possessed. The devil cannot possess us, but he can oppress us. Amen? And the devil is behind you and me because you are the image of God. He wants to destroy the image of God. Because he cannot directly contend with God. He's trying to destroy us. Hallelujah. But the Bible is very clear. Unless you give space, he cannot touch you. Amen. Hallelujah. Peter said, do not give space for the enemy. Hallelujah. Resist the devil and he will flee. God has given us every authority that we need. All authority that we need. And he's under our feet. Amen. I'll be finishing finally with how to reign and rule in this world. How many of you want to reign and rule? How many of you want to see every trouble, everything that the devil is bringing is under your feet? Amen? You are created to reign and rule. Hallelujah. You are created to reign and rule. Not to reign and rule other people, but to reign and rule the enemy. Amen? Don't go tomorrow and say, Pastor Sam, I'm going to reign and rule, and go to the next neighbor and say, get out, I want this house, you know. They'll put you in the prison. Don't do that. God has given us authority to trample snakes and scorpions and every evil spirit. Everything that's trying to enslave us, we have the authority to take dominion. Amen? Hallelujah. So that was one of the signs of days of Noah, which is prevalent extremely high again during the time. And I'm telling you, and I'm warning you, the demonic is going to increase. Many of you have experiences before salvation of how demonic came even to your rooms, to your beds, how it threatened some people. Every one of us have our own testimony of demonic confrontation. Do we all have or not? How many times the devil tried to kill me? How many times? Every time God is about to do something through my ministry, some nights he comes. The problem is this guy do not have any decency. He does not understand that he is a loser. He keeps on coming. He keeps on coming to kill you. He doesn't know the Spirit of the Lord living in you is raising up a banner. Hallelujah. Amen. Even while you are sleeping. One time I was sleeping very tired after meetings. The devil came and choked my, you know. I got very upset. I got very upset, and I just couldn't get up. I don't want to get up. You know, I don't want to honor him getting up and shouting at him. I just opened my eyes. If you're not going right now, I will throw you into the lake of fire before your time. You know what I mean? Jesus' name has such authority. Hallelujah. Amen. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So that was one of the signs. The demonic infiltration was very high. Verse 5. Genesis chapter 6. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Everywhere you turn, it was evil. Is it happening? They're ready to kill you for $1. Right? Every place you go, there is no safety for women to walk in the night. There's no safety even for men to walk now. So evil intent everywhere. Killing just left and right. Same thing is happening right now, is it not? Okay, turn to Luke 17. The second general circumstance that Jesus said will be just before his coming. Verse 28. Verse 28, Luke 17. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. Days of Lot. What was the days of Lot? Genesis 19. Genesis 19 gives you the insight of how was the days of Lot was. And Jesus said how the days of Lot was, it will be the same situation on the earth just before his coming. Amen? What was the days of Lot? Turn to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Genesis 19. You know the story here. God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their iniquities, for the sins, evil things they did. But Abraham's nephew Lot was living there. So God came and revealed to Abraham that we are going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham stood in gap for Lot, and God sent angels, two angels, to warn Lot to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah before they destroy. So angels met Lot, and Lot gave them food, you know, and then they gave him, trying to take him to the bed for them to take rest in the night. Verse 4. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." Jeez. Every man, old and young, wanted to have a relationship with the two men. Blatant, aggressive homosexuality. Blatant, aggressive homosexuality was practiced in Sodom and Gomorrah. Is it happening now? Big time. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. It's happening big time. Big time in the world, big time in the church. Do you know when I came to Sydney, the number one prayer request was, many of the leaders' children are gone to homosexual lifestyle. So they were asking me, what can we do? Why it is happening? The reason is the spirit of the age is oppressing. This is the spirit of this age just before the coming of the Lord. Spirit of the age is oppressing pastors and leaders and church people and world. Everybody is oppressed by the spirit of the age. Amen? That's the reason we have gay bishops and gay pastors and whatnot. Blatant, aggressive homosexuality is in the increase like never before. Nations are legalizing the homosexual marriages. Just opposite to the biblical principles. Is it happening or not? So that Jesus said this will be the sign just before his coming, general sign that will be prevailing in the earth before he's written. But he also gave a common sign which was prevalent in both the days of Noah and Lot. Luke 17. This thing was common in both the days. Both the days of Noah and Lot, this was common. What was it? Verse 27. During the times of Noah, they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying. Okay? Until Noah entered the ark, underline it, and destroyed them all, underline all. I'll tell you what it is. And number two. What was the sign in the Lot's time? 28. Likewise, it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. So what is wrong in it? We got to marry, we got to eat, we got to plant, we got to build. Nothing wrong in it. But the problem is overindulgence of it. Materialism. Materialism was a common sign both during the Noah and Lot's time. Is it high now? Big time. Materialism is in the church and in the world. Everywhere materialism. It's all about money, it's all about wealth, it's all about what I can get. Common. Amen? So these are a couple of signs that Jesus said will be the sign, common circumstances that will be there just before His coming. Just before His coming. So what does it mean to you and me? The King is coming. The King is coming very, 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 very soon. His coming is around the corner. We cannot play church anymore. We cannot play church anymore. We got to be serious. We got to be committed completely to the Lord Jesus. We need to surrender every aspect of our life to the Lord Jesus. We need to completely give everything to His Lordship. Not one leg in the world and one leg in the church. Amen. Jesus said, either be cold or hot. There's no neutral in the kingdom of God. Either forward gear or backward gear. Amen. So we got to be prepared. But Jesus said, these two signs are the common signs. But he said, this will be the sign. He's going to give another sign. This will be the sign. When this happens, know that I'm knocking on the door. And you will not die. This generation will not pass away. So we are in that season of the sign that Jesus said that is coming soon. What is the sign? Luke 21. Verse 29 onwards. You all doing good now? So far you're all okay? Am I doing okay? If I'm not doing well, blame it on God. He only brought me here. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Jesus. One thing I know, Jesus loves Griffith very much. Amen? There are hundreds of cities I can go. Right? This is my continuous meeting for the past 2.5 weeks. Every day I'm preaching. Every day, sometimes 2 times. Hallelujah. I can be in any city, but God has brought me to Griffith. Amen. So Jesus again is talking about the end times in this chapter, Luke 21. He's giving answers to the questions of the disciples. Okay, let me turn to Matthew 24 for a minute. Can we do that? I'm sorry. I just wanted to give you more insight, because many of you will not understand. Go to Luke 21. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is the chapter where Jesus was talking about the end times. The disciples were showing the temple and how beautiful the temple was and all this stuff. And Jesus was telling the temple will be destroyed. Once no stone will be upon another in Jerusalem temple. Temple will be destroyed and the Jews will be scattered all over the world. And the disciples were beginning to ask the question. Let's start from verse 1, chapter 24. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So there were 3 questions the disciples asked. Question number 1. Tell us, when will the temple will be destroyed and the Jews will be scattered? That's number 1 question. Second question was, and what will be the sign of your coming? That is what we are interested about. The third question was, what will be the sign of the end of the age? Answer to the first question, most of us know. That in 70 AD, after Jesus resurrected, after 70 years, Romans came and destroyed the temple and the Jews were scattered all over the world. So we got the answer for the first question. Before going to the second question, let's go to the third question. And of the end of the age, what will be the sign of the end of the age? The sign of the end of the age is in verse 14 is the answer. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So that is the sign of the end of the age. What is the end of the age? When the end of human age is finished and the Lord's rule will begin. Okay? But I am interested more in the second question because that pertains to our time. And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the... What will be the sign of your coming? That is, what is the sign that you will come, when you will come and take us home? So I gave you 2 general circumstances, Noah and days and Lot days. And the sign is given, the answer for the second question is in Luke 21. Now let's go to Luke 21. I have written everything in detail, especially the next, I'm going to talk about why we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem, how it affects the whole Christianity, how it affects your life, your loved ones, and how it hastens its coming, and why you are blessed when you bless Israel scripturally. Do you know when you bless Israel, you are blessing the gospel? How? So I've written in detail in this book, but unfortunately I don't have copies. Everything, people bought it, whatever I bought. But you can go into Amazon.com and you can order it. The title is "The King is Coming, Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem." Or you can go into our website, worldhealinginternational.org, worldhealinginternational.org, and you can order from there as well. Luke 21:29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourself that the summer is now near. See also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Amen. Here Jesus spoke a parable to give them the sign. What is the sign? Just when he comes. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. Here fig tree represents Israel. In the scriptures, Israel, fig tree represents Israel. In Hosea and several places, fig tree represents Israel. So what is Jesus talking about? When you say Israel, when you see Israel, when they are already budding and you see and know for years that the summer is now near, so when you also see, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. In other words, when you see Israel budding and blossoming, know that I'm knocking on the door. Know that I'm knocking on the door. The key is verse 32. Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. We are the generation. Amen. Jesus said, this generation will by no means pass away who sees the reestablishment of state of Israel. The state of Israel was reestablished in May 14, 1948 in one single day. According to Isaiah 6 verse 8, a promise in Isaiah 6 verse 8, Isaiah 66 verse 8, will a nation give birth in one day? Zion was in labor and gave birth in one day. Amen. God reestablished Israel in one single day supernaturally on May 14, 1948. God said, when you see, Jesus' words, this is Jesus himself is telling. When you see Israel reestablished and blooding and prospering, Israel is the only thriving democracy in the whole of Middle East. All the inventions, most of them are invented by the Jewish people. The mobile phones you carry, SIM cards, everything was invented by them. Amen? So many medical breakthroughs through the Jewish people. So budding and blossoming, supernatural prosperity is there in the country. Though the only nation that have faced so much wars and conquests, but still nobody is able to destroy them. Hallelujah. 1,880 missiles have hit Israel in the past 12, 13 days. 1,800 plus missiles. Only one person died because of the missile attack. Who can do it? Only our God. Amen? The one who God keeps Israel will never slumber or sleep. Hallelujah. I have lived in Israel for 4 years. I have lived during the Lebanese war. We cannot express in words what, how much protected we were in the presence of God. Amen? Only God can do it, folks. Hallelujah. God is bringing thousands and thousands, millions of Jews back to the land of Israel. So Jesus said, when you see fig tree blossoming, Israel blossoming, know that I'm knocking on the door. The key is this generation will by no means pass away. How many of you are living who saw May 14, 1948 here? Many of you. Two honest people here, praise God. Amen? So if a generation is 40 years, 60 years, 120 years according to the Bible, we are really, 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 really close. What happens if he comes tonight? Are you ready? Amen? So not only that, Jesus reaffirmed in verse 33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away, no matter what happens. People think the gospel is not being preached. How many of you know gospel is being preached like never before? Thousands and thousands are coming to the Lord every day. Do you know in one day God can turn around every sin? God said the sin of Jacob will be purged in one single day. How many millions God is touching around the world? How many thousands God is revealing in dreams and visions Right when they bow down on the mosque and worship the devil Allah, God is revealing. Wow. How God loves us. He is seeking everyone, wherever you are. David said, where can we hide, Lord? Can we go into the depth of the sea? There your spirit will find me. Even if I take my wings and fly, you will find me. Whether you are in the mosque or the prison or in a dungeon or wherever you are, the Spirit of the Lord will seek you and find you. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have loved ones that you are praying and believing for, this is the time for the salvation. Amen. Do not give up. Do not give up. This is a time of restoration and reconciliation. Hallelujah. Amen. So interesting thing is verse 29 again. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. What is he talking about, all the trees? He's talking about other nations. He's talking about other nations who will come into independence during the time of Israel. India came to independence in 1947. Bangladesh, Pakistan, so many nations came out of British rule. The same time. Are they thriving and prospering? India big time is prospering. Amen? Hallelujah. So this is the generation. How many of us saw 1947? Again, two people here, honest people. Amen? So this is the generation God said will see my coming. Be ready. Be ready. So this is the reason it is very important to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Why should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? What happens when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? We need to understand of all the world that God created, He chose Jerusalem to be His dwelling place. Psalm 132. Psalm 132. Of all the place He created, heaven and earth belongs to Him. He chose one place to be His desired place for His dwelling. Psalm 132 verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has decided for His dwelling place. Wow. He chose this mountain of Zion, the Jerusalem city. He decided for His dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Wow. It's going to be His resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. God has not desired Sydney or Griffith, He has desired Jerusalem. I'm sorry. Amen? That's the reason the devil is trying to destroy Jerusalem. And many of the millions of Christians are caught into this deception. Not only that, Jerusalem is not just God's desiring place. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, Jerusalem is the city of the great King. Amen? Matthew chapter 5, verse 34. Jesus said, do not swear by heaven, which is God's throne. Do not swear by earth, which is God's footstool. And also do not swear on Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the city of the great King, where Jesus, the great King, will rule as King of Kings and on King of Kings and Lord of Lords for all nations from Jerusalem. Amen? That's the reason God wants you to pray and support Israel and Jerusalem for the end times. How many of you know if Jerusalem is divided, Jesus cannot come back? Jesus is coming back to take the throne of David. Amen? He's coming back to take the throne of David. So Israel was re-established in 1948. Millions of Jews came back to Israel. In 1967, Jerusalem was brought back under the united rule of the Jewish people. What does it mean? The David's throne is ready and waiting for Jesus to come back and take the throne of David. Amen? The devil thinks if he divides Jerusalem, he cannot come and take the throne of David. Because Jerusalem needs to be united under the Jewish rule during the time of David, like in the time of David. Amen? First time under the time of David, both the kingdoms, the southern and the northern, the Judah and Israel was united. And it's happening now. Hallelujah. Amen? That's the reason the devil is trying to destroy Jerusalem and Israel. But we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Why should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Psalm 122, 6 and 7. Psalm 122, 6 and 7. Why should we pray? The Bible declares, we all know the scripture by memory, some of you. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you may prosper, and peace be within your walls. God has attached the prosperity and peace promise when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's a command. It's a command. By Bible believing, every Bible believing Jew and Gentile is commanded by God to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's not you might pray or you shall pray. He said pray. It's a command. Why should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? The reason is, when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're actually praying for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because there will be true peace only when Jesus comes back and rules from Jerusalem as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When the Prince of Peace comes back, that's where there will be true peace in Jerusalem and around the world. So when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you are praying for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So every time you pray, Lord, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Send your son Jesus so that there will be true peace when he rules from Jerusalem. Amen? That's the reason God commanded us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But the problem is, we don't understand. For him to come back, there are several conditions that needs to be met. Most of them are met already, apart from preaching of the gospel is going on full swing. But he said, this is the condition. If this doesn't happen, I will not come back. If doesn't happen, I will not come back. Turn to Luke chapter 13. He said, if this is not happening, I'm not coming back, folks. Same thing he spoke in Matthew 23:39. He's again gave the same portion as in Luke 13. Luke 13:35. When you go back home, read Matthew 23:39 also. It says, you will see me no more until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So he was talking to the Jewish people who saw them for the first time. Who saw the Jewish people? Who saw the Jesus for the first time? The Jewish people, the disciples. So he was telling, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, you will see me no more. Let's pick up in Luke 13 verse 35. See your houses left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me. You shall not see me again until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen? So he's talking to the Jewish disciples, Jewish people, and telling, until you say, the time comes when you say, blessed is Yeshua the Messiah who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai in Hebrew, I will not come back. What does it mean? Until the Jewish people are saved, how can they say, Yeshua the Messiah, the Blessed One? In other words, the Jewish people must be saved for the coming of the Lord. Until the Jewish people are saved, Jesus cannot come back. So this is the number one condition for him to come back. That's the reason the devil deceived the church. The replacement theology came, that the church has been replaced. Church has replaced Israel and the Jewish people so that you will not pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So that Jesus cannot come back. But praise God, God is breaking through. Amen. All the replacement theology is completely breaking off the people's minds and denominations and churches. Now they're beginning to pray for Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, support Israel in the end times so that the king can come back fast. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but the problem is there's another condition for the Jewish people to be saved. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. There's an awesome promise that God has given for the Jewish people. The Bible tells that all Israel will be saved. Amen? It's the remnant of all Israel. It's not just the physical numbers. The remnant of all Israel will be saved. It's not shall be saved, might be saved. Bible says will be saved. Amen? Romans 11, 26. And so all Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So God is telling, I will take care of them. No problem. All Israel will be saved. But the condition is in verse 25. When will they get saved? Verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles is coming. In other words, until the fullness of the Gentiles come into the kingdom of God, all Israel will not be saved. When the fullness of the Gentiles, that is fullness of the nations, come into the kingdom of God, then all Israel will be saved. Hallelujah. In other words, when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're not only praying for the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not only praying for the salvation of the Jewish people, we're also praying for the salvation of the nations. Your community, Griffith, your family members will get saved faster when you begin to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen? So the fullness of the Gentiles come in, then all Israel will be saved. There'll be acceleration of evangelism when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen? So I want to take you to another interesting, important truth that you need to understand. Why did Jewish people reject Jesus? You know, that was a big question. That's the reason many people begin to hate the Jewish people. They thought when the Jews helped to crucify Jesus on the cross, they thought God is done with the Jewish people. So many people begin to hate the Jewish people. So many atrocities was done. Holding the cross, killing the Jews, raping the woman, holding the cross, singing sacred hymns, demonic influence into the church. But Paul is giving a great, awesome domination of why the Jewish people are partly blinded. Verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. What is the mystery? Lest you should be wise in your own opinion. It's your opinion that churches replace Jewish people. It's not God's biblical. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Blindness in part has happened to the Jewish people. This is a supernatural blinding. It's a supernatural blinding on the Jewish people that God has put on them. For what? Verse 11. I say then they have they stumbled that they should fall. Did the Jewish people blinded and they rejected Jesus for them to fall? No, certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Because they rejected Jesus, salvation has come to you and me. Amen? That's the reason they were blinded. Supernaturally, partly. Even during Jesus' time, many of the Jews believed in Jesus, right? Verse 12. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? How much more their fullness? What will happen if the Jewish people begin to accept Jesus? The answer is in verse 15. For if their being cast away is a reconciling of the world, if because they rejected the eternal riches came to the Gentiles, that is eternal life, what will be their acceptance but life from the dead? Hallelujah. The Jewish people begin to accept when God begin to remove the part blindness. When the Jewish people begin to accept life from death. Amen? So it is like this. When the fullness of Gentiles come into the kingdom of God, then all Israel will be saved and then life from death rapture happens. Hallelujah. Amen? So it is very important that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem on a daily basis. It's very important. That affects your whole Christianity. It affects the whole church. Everything that we do Christianity is in these two words. Why? What is the church for? To take the gospel out. To bring the king back. This will get accelerated when the church begins to understand and begin to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I encourage you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem every day. If you go into our website, we can go into an Israel portion of the website and you can click a prayer booklet that was written by my wife, 31 Days Praise and Prayer Point. It's a PDF. You can download it freely and you can pray every day. It's a 31 Days Praise and Prayer Points. Amen? So what happens when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? I told you, the nations are coming to the Lord. But how many of you know, when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, there's a separate promise for the Muslims, the terrorists, the Arabs and the Muslims and the Islamic people. Isaiah 19, 23 to 25. It's happening big time now. This promise is being fulfilled and it's getting accelerated every time we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because our God is a righteous judge. He wants not only the Isaacs to be saved, He wants the Ishmaels to be saved. Hallelujah. The Muslims, the terrorists, the Arabs, every one of them. God wants every soul to be saved. Amen. Hindu souls, Buddhist souls, every soul God wants them to be saved. Isaiah 19, 23 to 25 is a great promise which is happening right now. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian will come into Egypt and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day Israel will be one of the three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land. Amen. Hallelujah. Egypt, Israel and all the Middle East region, predominantly where the Ishmaels and the Muslims and the terrorists are completely operating from, will be saved and worship with the Jewish people as a praise in the midst of the earth. Hallelujah. It's happening big time, folks. Jews and Arabs are coming to the Lord and they're worshiping together. The blood of Jesus is destroying the middle wall. Hallelujah. Amen. They're worshiping the Lord like never before. Ishmaels and Isaacs are coming together. Look what verse 24 says. This is what is very interesting for me. Whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people. Why God is telling Egypt, my people? I thought Israel is my people, right? Why Egypt, my people? Because God is moving so powerfully. Hallelujah. Lord, anoint this boy that he'll preach mightily. Amen. It's a boy, right? I'm sorry. Boy, okay. What's happening is, God is moving so powerful in Egypt. And God is doing some shaking in Egypt. If you want to know what's going on in Egypt, you read the chapter 19 of Isaiah. You'll see everything inside is happening right now in this chapter. But in the same chapter, the Bible tells five cities in Egypt will begin to speak in Hebrew and fear the name of the Lord. Wow. I believe that's the reason, this is my opinion, that's the reason Bible says Egypt, my people. And look what, this is what is so fascinating for me. Egypt, my people, the Assyria, the work of my hands. God says, I'm doing a great work in Assyria, which is Iran, all this area. I'm doing a great work. How many of you know thousands are coming to the Lord with no crusades, nothing? God himself is appearing in dreams and visions and doing marvelous works through just a common man. Unbelievable things God is doing in Iran and every place. The highest revival is happening right now in Iran. Highest revival in the whole world is happening in Iran. His handiwork, he himself is doing it. That's the reason he said, my hands work. No man can get glory. No big evangelist crusade will get glory. I am doing it myself. Amen? That's the reason he said, the handiwork of my hands. And Israel, my inheritance, of course. So when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're also praying for the salvation of the Ishmaels, the Arabs, the Muslims, the Islamic terrorists, everyone, that God will touch them and save them. Amen? And protect them from the destruction of the devil. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the reason we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem on a daily basis. When you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, God has promised that he will give you peace and prosperity. Amen? In my book, I've written clearly why we are blessed. Do you know why America is blessed? Amen? Do you know why India is blessed? Do you know why British is gone? Do you know why Spain is gone? So many African countries are blessed. Some of them are... Why? I've written clearly in the book. So it's not a magic, it's not a gimmick, you know. It's God's word. I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. But the problem is the understanding why. So I've written clearly, when you bless Israel, you will bless the gospel. How? Amen? So you have to pray for the peace of Jerusalem on a daily basis. So I'm going to finish with this. As I told you, we clearly saw the sign is now. He's coming now, any minute, any time. We got to be ready, because every sign that needs to be doing is happening right now. And this sign is the reestablishment of Israel. Out of the 14 million Jews living on the planet here, for the first time after 2,000 years, 7 million Jews are living inside the planet Earth. So when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it also accelerates the regathering of the Jewish people back to the land of Israel. Amen? But we know that we are ready, getting ready. But Jesus gave a powerful insight, so that we will not be deceived as Christians, that though we call us Christians, we might not be ready. So Matthew 25, Jesus gave an awesome insight of the people who will be caught up in heaven with him. The problem with Christianity is that there was so much concentration on just gospel and just getting into heaven. How many of you know that's much beyond that? You need to live in this earth. The devil is getting ready to destroy you in this earth, even before you're getting into heaven. And God said, you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. How can you prepare yourself? I'll finish with that. Okay? Matthew 25, here's a great insight about the kingdom of God that Jesus gave to us to follow so that we can be prepared for his coming. Amen? Matthew 25, this is about the parable of the virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins, verse 1, chapter 25 of Matthew, who took the lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Here we see virgins. It's the same people group. There's no difference. Same people group. I believe it's talking about the believers. There were 10 believers. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took the lamps and took no oil with them. In other words, they were in Christianity, a form of godliness, but they are really not connected, plugged into the move of God and the fire of God. They were just living life, just coming to the church. Don't take me wrong, you can be on the pastoral team, you can be on the choir, you can be there serving the Lord so faithfully, putting the chairs, no matter what, but your heart is important more than anything you do. Amen? So God is telling, I don't care what you do, I need your intimacy. The bottom line is intimacy with God. He can use a donkey. Amen? He needs only your heart. Intimacy with God is bottom line. Bottom line. So these people were a form of Christianity, but they did not have the oil in them. But the wise took oil in the vessels with their lamps. What were they doing? The Bible tells, keep your lamp burning for the service. So these believers were on fire for God. They were worshipping and praising him and spending time with him intimately, not just a corporate service. Intimately with him, sitting and listening to what God wants to do. Amen? And giving out to others, reaching out to others, keeping their oil burning, working out righteous works. What happened here? Verse 30, verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Is the bridegroom delaying? For 2,000 odd years, he's delaying. Why is he delaying? In Peter, it's clearly written. For one day for God is like 1,000 days for us, 1,000 years. That's one reason. Second reason, he don't want none to perish. So he's delaying. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Spiritual slumber. Spiritual slumber. Apathy. Complacency. Spiritual slumber. Verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. God comes when nobody knows when he's coming. No man will know the time and hour of his coming. But we clearly is given the season of his coming. And we are living in that season. Then all the wise virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. I'm telling you folks, this is the time of trimming our lamps. This is the time of trimming our schedules. This is the time of prioritizing our life. This is the time of trimming everything that needs to be trimmed in our life so that we can be fruitful. You know, God sent Isaiah to tell to Hezekiah, you're going to die in 2-3 days, said the housewife. If God tells you today, I'm going to take you home tomorrow, your priorities will change. Your priorities will change. Your schedule will get a big shift. Everything will change. It's not that you should not enjoy life. God gave to give you life and life in abundance. Freedom is what God bought us on the cross. We got to be joyful in the Lord. We got to be freely doing things for God. Enjoy your life. But at the same time, you need to get away from every ungodly activities. Amen? Verse 8. Verse 9. Okay, let's do verse 10. And while they went by, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, underline ready, those who were ready, those believers who were ready, are you ready? It's not for every believer, those who are ready, not because you're calling yourself a Christian, those who are ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Wow. What happened? Verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins came, also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Do you understand? The other people, why? They also know that Jesus is Lord. But they were not living the life, allowing him to be the Lord. Putting one leg in the world and one leg in the church. What happened? I don't know who you are. What a horrible statement that anybody, I wish nobody should hear this in their life. But he answered and said, I should lay say to you, I do not know you. Wow. Do not know you. That will be the horrible thing that we can ever hear in our life. Jesus telling, I do not know you. But Jesus said, verse 13, therefore watch and pray. Neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Nobody knows. Be ready. And also Jesus warned in Luke 17. Turn to Luke 17. He said, he warned us very clearly. When I am coming, if you're not ready, you'll be left behind for tribulation. It was very clear. Luke 17, verse 34. I tell you, in that night when I'm coming, there will be two men in the bed. The one will be taken, the other will be left. Wow. The two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, the other left. Wow. The two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, the other left. So God is giving warnings after warnings, folks. And here we see two men sleeping in the same bed. That means they're closely related. Two women, listen, don't take me wrong. This may be like, you know, brothers lying down. You know what I mean? I got to be careful in this world what I'm talking. They should change the men and put it generally. Two people sleeping. Husband and wife sleeping. One is taken, one is left. Husband and wife sleeping. One taken, one left. Two women grinding. That means they're cooking together. Maybe mother and mother-in-law. Daughter and mother or wife and mother. Can be any situation. Friends just having a good time cooking with together. One is taken, one is left. Two men working together. Your colleagues. So what is God telling? Prepare your immediate people whom you are in connection, whom you are in influence, whom you are in relationship every day. Do not allow them to be left behind. Amen? So we got to be careful. You got to be prepared. So nothing to fear, because Jesus has already bought us through his blood. The only thing is we need to keep our priorities and do what Jesus said. And Jesus said, whoever does the will of my Father, he will be with me forever. Period. Amen? So we got to be ready. We got to be ready and prepare ourselves. And we need to take authority over the enemy. We are created to reign and rule, because the devil is enslaving many of us in sickness and bondage and debts and whatnot. But God has created us in his image, and he said, go subdue and take dominion. You cannot see with sitting passively, seeing the devil stealing your children, the devil stealing your marriage, the devil stealing your finances, the devil stealing your health. You need to take authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And take authority over everything that the devil is enslaving. Jesus has given us all authority. His blood is enough. Amen. His blood destroyed every work of the enemy. We need to take authority, take dominion in life. We need to know how to speak to the mountains. Mark 11, chapter 23, 25. Jesus said, speak to the mountains. The mountains will move. What is the mountain you are facing tonight in your life? Speak to the mountain to move. And Jesus finally ended that verse by, whatever you say will happen. Amen. We need to know how to call for things in your life. Bible says you can call for things. If you need anything, call for things. It will come. If you are living according to the plan and purposes of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to finish with this verse. Titus gives a great insight of how you can live in this age. I want the worship team to come back, please. Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. God has given an insight. This is how you need to live in this current age. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 11. There are several other ways all over the Bible. I'm just giving you one nugget. First thing is Jesus said, watch and pray. That is number one, intimacy with God. Number one. Number two, chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Did it appear to all men? Amen. Jesus came and appeared to everybody that salvation has come when he came for the first time. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, number one, deny ungodliness in every form in your life. That will change everything. Number one is TV. Ungodly thing coming in. Nothing wrong against TV. Just don't watch the ungodly thing, that's all. There are so beautiful pictures nowadays God is releasing. Some of the pictures I've cried because it's all Christian pictures. The Holy Spirit was so much in those pictures. Do not allow any ungodly thing to come into your life. Number two, deny worldly lusts, worldly pleasures, sinful pleasures. You have to have pleasure in life. How many of you know in the right side of God's hand is fullness of pleasure? So God is wanting pleasure, but not the sinful pleasure. Worldly lust, deny it. Number three, live soberly, godly, soberly, righteously and godly in present age. Period. If you do that, you can prepare yourself. And Jesus said, do the will of God and abide in me and you will live with me forever. Amen. So our source is Jesus alone. He is the only source. There is no other source. His church name is Life Source, right? Hallelujah. Jesus is the only source. Hallelujah. There is no other goal. Don't trust your government for social welfare. Governments are dwindling down. Trust in Jesus alone. Amen. If you do this, you'll be prepared. If it comes tonight, you can be ready. Let's stand up in the presence of God. We're going to pray. We'll ask God to forgive us. This is the time to repent for our spiritual slumber. The times that we did not seek the Lord. The times that we did not spend with the Lord. The things that we have done knowingly or unknowingly, which is ungodly. If you're lukewarm, if you're backslidden, this is the time to reconcile with God.